It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
You know, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock. We got Barry Hess in studio. Lee Wright on the phone. We'll get back to Lee in just a second, but I wanted to give, Gary's just got this one segment to give us what for Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com. It's .com, right, Gary?
.com and .net.
.com and .net. Restore the Republic. Now, Restore the Republic is from Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, and it just evolved. And after his passing, somebody had to be somebody trusted to take it on and fulfill the dream. And it was Gary Franchi. He's done a great job with. Tell us about your TV. Tell them where they go to your television productions. You're working on something right now, aren't you?
Actually, right now, yeah, we're in pre-production for a live broadcast tonight. Any of your listeners want to tune in, they can actually watch on the web at freedom.tv/latestream. We're actually going to be broadcasting a pilot episode. We're going to run a live stream for about 3 hours, and we've got it all set up at that webpage. People can submit web links. They can call into the show. If they got a YouTube video they've discovered, we can play it in real time if they just send it to us right there on that page. So they can watch us, so they can open it up right there and broadcast it to everyone else who's watching at the same time. So it's a super duper multimedia manifestation of freedom and interaction and all that good stuff that goes along with it.
Man, if you want to see it, you just go. I tell you where you can connect and get them. If you go to the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, one of the top stories up there, it says Phoenix Rising. It's about the rally tomorrow. And there were a couple of episodes of, what do they call it, realityreport.tv, right?
Yeah, that's our other show that we put out every week. We generally release it on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and that's where you came on, and I actually was on your show, and we did a double broadcast there. So, yeah, realityreport.tv, and then we also post those episodes on RestoreTheRepublic.com and .net.
Yeah, but you're prettier than I am, man. You know, I like doing the radio. That's one thing I go, and wherever I go to these events and I see people, they go, that's it, that's all I get. You sounded taller on the radio, you know, that kind of thing. But the one thing that I wanted, you took on this issue, and inside you're in the, I would say the considered the patriot community, certainly if you ask Southern Poverty Law Center. But you're in the patriot community. I'm not even sure what that designation is. Is you want, I don't know, truth, freedom, and justice, and Constitution and stuff.
It just means I advocate for freedom through the Constitution. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like bad. I mean, whatever. But the point is that you are really in tune with a lot of the people in the freedom community that come at it from, a lot of stuff, from the constitutional perspective, a lot of times from a religious perspective, from, a lot of angles on the justification for us to be free as individuals. And mm-hmm. You did an episode that I highlighted. That's why I wanted to have your comments today, because the Constitutional Alliance, it's called constitutionalalliance.org, is really coming out against the National ID inside SB 1070. It's the, and this is, see, I know there's this immigration thing and you got the Hispanics on the other side and that it's just part of the PSYOP. They're over, you go high enough with the, up on the pyramid, you got the same people in charge of both sides. And let me tell you what both sides want. They want national ID. And on one side, on the left, yeah, well, if you give us a national ID card and chip us and this and that and whatever, and we get to stay in America and work and be, you know, your slaves or whatever, that's all good. And we'll take it. Well, and I got to have it. You know, I mean, how do you think, what do you think this e-verify thing is all about? So I'm going, okay. So Gary takes a look at this thing and he has, what's the gentleman, Mark Lerner. Now,
Mark Lerner, great guy.
Well, who is he? Where's he from?
Mark Lerner is the co-founder of the Constitutional Alliance and the Real ID Coalition. I don't know exactly where he's from. He travels all over the country. He's been expert witness in biometrics cases with the federal government too. I mean, he's actually testified. So he's highly credible researcher, as well as he was working inside the biometrics community. So he knows all the inside stuff too.
Well, you know, he did an evaluation of the bill that was promoted by Campaign for Liberty. In fact, a very right-wing Republican, conservative, anti-immigration entity here called the Sonoran Alliance. They came out and read what Mark Lerner had produced and looked at and actually read the bill. Nobody's ever reading the bill and actually read the bill. And they came out and they go, you know, those guys over at Freedom's Phoenix, they got it going on. They're like, dang, Skippy, this is national ID. So
yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah, that's what's terrifying about this whole thing is that they've got us, you know, in this basically with our backs against the wall saying, you know, we got to solve this immigration problem. And at the same time, they're saying, well, here's the solution. It's a classic Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution scenario.
Well, the reason that I wanted to talk to you today, and we got that information, you know, out. But I tell you what's really interesting to me, because you're so respected in the patriot community, you know, the constitutional supporting, Save America kind of thing. They were upset that you came out with this information, whether accurate or not. They're just mad that you even said anything about it.
Who's upset?
I don't know. I thought that you would have, you know, somebody questioning you. I mean, are you getting any kind of blogs?
Yeah, I mean, we get feedback. You know, we check all the channels and all the different comment sections and emails. And some people were upset that we would go ahead and say, no, we don't agree with this bill because they're so consumed with the immigration side of it, they can't grasp the bigger picture. And we're trying, I mean, it's a very difficult line to tread on because we're sitting here saying, look, we understand the immigration problem. We understand there needs to be a solution, but guys, this is not it. This is not it. You want the solution? Fine. Just step right up, get your microchip implant, okay, and then get your vaccine while you're at it, too. You know, I mean, what's next? Cremation chambers?
You know, seriously. I tell you what I'm worried about. And aside from a lot of the others, you can see the progression. I can see what's going to happen. You're going to have this national ID component in immigration because they're going to be checking the papers. Are you a U.S. citizen? You're looking kind of brown, man. You know, driving around while brown get on the ground. So I'm going, you know, so what's the solution? Well, you got to have ID, you know, and prove you're a U.S. citizen. Well, that means I got to have ID to prove I'm a citizen. So I'm going, okay, well, how, and I'm going to check that ID against what? Well, it's against a database. From where? From Homeland Security, from national, proven you're a U.S. citizen. U.S. citizen is a, you know, separate list from Arizona unless they get a list from Arizona, and that's what they're doing. So I'm going, okay, so that's pretty clear. Now they want to do, you can't get a birth certificate unless you can prove that the parents are U.S. citizens. So I'm going, all right, well, there's another list they got to compare to. Then you get permission from the federal government saying that you're allowed to be a U.S. citizen at birth. So what happens at birth? It used to be you got a Social Security card when you went to work. You know, I want to go work. All right, fine. I'm 16. I got to go get a Social Security card. Now, you want to write your children off as a tax deduction? They got to have a Social Security number. And I'm going, okay, that started after my kids were born. Then you had, okay, then they go, man, you can't get out of the hospital without a Social Security number. And I'm going, no. You're kind of pushing back on that one a little bit. You know, they're letting you kind of, you can get out without doing that right away, but they want you to get it right then. You got to fill it out right now. Here's the form. So then they go, now they're going, okay, we're going to get them numbered by, you can't get the actual birth certificate unless you are checked against a database, the parents. So then at birth, you are logged in. Then Obamacare comes in. They're going to have all these mothers out there, you know, in national health care, and they go and get their prenatal vitamin. They get their checkup and all that. Your baby, booms, logged into the system. You get a government number before you're even born. And we're not worried about this? I'm like, come on, conservatives. Where are you on this thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you laid out the whole blueprint there, Ernie. And that's... you know, that's the Orwellian police state, you know, database tracking life that they have in store for us. You know, America is not the free country that we once knew.
You know, and I'm glad you guys are out there. I'm looking forward. Go ahead and give out the webpage to be able to watch your live 3-hour broadcast tonight again. Do that real quick.
Freedom.tv/late stream.
Freedom.tv/late stream. Hey, thanks for coming on, Gary. It's always a pleasure, man. Go do a good show. We'll be watching.
All right. Thanks, Ernie. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit with Lee Wrights.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we got to get us some Boston in here. So I feel better. You just can't not feel better than you having some Boston. Yeehaw. And we're going to be playing some more rock. You know, we're going to this third hour in the afternoon show. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to amp up the fun on my part. You know, because I can. That's why. Yeah, and, you know, in the third hour, we're going to be doing a lot of technology and advancements. So you have no idea what's going on out here. Energy production, transportation, New York to Paris in 9 minutes. You know, they had scramjets just last week. That's Mach 6. Hello. You know, I'm not telling you nothing. Why? 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 To keep you down on the farm, man. Keep your head down plowing. You know, the imagination of the youth was sparked by such things, and they know it. And they said, we need to stop that. You know, but we got the youth, they're marching, and they're not waiting on anybody. We got Lee Wrights from the National Libertarian Party. I think that's one of your guys' missions, right? We want to go get, you know, hook into this youth thing. How are we going to do that?
Well, I hope they figure it out. Of course, I'm not on the National Committee anymore, so I really don't have a say about what they're doing. But, man, we got to start hitting events like this. Another activist and I were speaking the other night. We need to start hitting big venue concerts and stuff like that. Have a booth set up or something. You know, Michael Badneri, good friend of both of ours, had a lot of things to say at the National Convention. One of the things he was talking about was we need to get out of these T-shirts. We need to get out of the scruffy clothes and into a nicer, you know, wear a tie. And he's right in certain cases. But we can't abandon that altogether. We need to go to the places where we don't need to send suits there. We need to send T-shirts there. We need to send people that are going to relate to these young people and make them understand you do have a political home.
You know, one thing that Michael did, he's the Libertarian candidate for president in 2004. And what he did is he was supported because, first, do no harm. I mean, he's a constitutional scholar. He gives constitutional classes all over the country. And he and I have had long conversations on many times. He was the president of the Continental Congress of 2009. I remember I met him in, also we went to Jekyll Island together. I've known Michael for a long time. And he has been a good, good, solid, no compromise guy. He focuses on, you know, various different things that I don't, but I never had to question his integrity. That was never in question. And at the last minute, he asked if I had a spot for him to speak on my behalf. And I went, heck yeah. So I didn't get to talk. All I did is I go, freedom's the answer. And a bunch of the audience, you know, what's the question? I go, obviously they're listening to the show because, you know, and it's, and we only had, I bet you, you know, real hardcore out of, you know, 500 and something people. I had about 80, 90, 100 around in there that were just, you know, we're going hardcore Ernie activist kind of thing. And it was enough that had the king making ability. And I mean, it was, we had an impact. And of course, everybody else, they're already locked in. They didn't even know what was what, but they got so infected with the love that we really had a good time. You know, I'll play my concession speech. I haven't played it on the show yet, and it's only like 3 minutes, but it kind of gives you, after all of this is done, and it's time for me to get up. It's going down to the last out of the five. It goes, I was the third one out, and it goes down to the last two, and I'm like, you know, they always want to know who you're going to endorse. You know, this is it. This is it. The third guy is going to determine who's going to be the chair, and I didn't want to play. And Wayne, Alan Root, man, they pulled me off to the side, and they, man, offered me the sun, the wind, the moon, the stars.
How much was your soul worth?
And, you know, this is what I did. I go like this. I said, you know, when you watch the movies and it's always the hero and never, as they're pulling out his intestines, he's screaming freedom and all that kind of, I go, that's me. Okay. So you're wasting your time. Let's just not even, you know, can we just be friends? And, so this is, you know, what's really had, and of course I guess I was a kiss of death. You know, you didn't make the LNC because I like you, man. You know, so it's, and what has been your experience of being in there, because I know you've been, has the reputation of being the radical. I mean, you know, if anybody left on there, they always targeting you because you're the one holding their feet to the fire. What is it that made you so unpopular with the tried and true and so popular with the people?
Well, we had a group in there that wanted to do things their way, and you know that of course, we had a treasurer that didn't really care that much about openness and transparency and want to tell us things. And I'm the guy sitting there screaming, no, wait a minute. I got people I represent that want to know what's going on. I have to know what to tell them. So I start asking questions. And it's just like you, Ernie, when you start doing why, people just want to shut you up. They want to take that gospel they carry around tucked under their arms like a preacher on Wednesday going to prayer meeting called Robert's Rules. And they take the gospel of Roberts and try to use it as a club to beat you with and to keep you quiet if you're in the minority. And, of course, I don't talk to that very well. So,
well, how is the minority? You know, what is the breakup now? I don't know a lot of these guys. The LNC is what? And we got kind of, I remember there was one of the candidates for treasurer against the incumbent that won. You know, that's a big plus. And we got a lot of good victories out of this thing. We had a lot of influence. We made sure, you know, which is what I anticipated. I kept telling people I was not running to win. I was not building this coalition or whatever. I mean, if I won, it was going to be based on a clear direction. We're going to go whip butt. And I know that there's, you know, a lot of people nervous. I mean, a lot of the real activists have gone outside the party. The libertarian movement is so much larger outside the party now. That's where I find myself with a lot of, like with Gary Franchi on doing, you know, we do actual real work, real activism. Inside the party, I'm not even really sure what exactly it is other than we got ballot status to have kind of sort of almost libertarians.
First of all, you got a bad expectation. Anybody that expects the Libertarian National Committee to do anything except what it's charged to do, then they're asking for something they're not going to get. The National Committee exists to keep alive the National Party, to do the business, to do the paperwork, to do all the things that the status requires to do in order to be recognized as a political party. It's up to the activists, those people that were sitting in the chairs and making decisions in that hall. Those are the people who are going to have to get out here and do something. Like I said, don't stand around. Wait for permission from somebody, particularly national. Go out there and do it, and then come to them, show them what you did, show them how you were successful, and we can spread the word everywhere else.
I'm waiting. You know, this is one thing that you make a good point. You know, national does what national does to keep national. And ballot status belongs to the states. I mean, the national has nothing to do with it. So I'm going, what is it that national is for? If national evaporated tomorrow, what would happen? What's the difference?
Well, see, it's kind of a misnomer to say that national has nothing to do with ballot access. While it's true, ballot access is from state to state. In fact, every time it goes before the Supreme Court rules the same way. Ballot access is a state issue, and that's why there are no federal laws around ballot access. However, a lot of these smaller states with fairly easy ballot access still couldn't do it because they have small organizations. We need to build those organizations up. But the LNC does serve a purpose and a role, and that is the money that they're able to raise from other libertarians across the country who understand the importance of ballot access, and we can funnel it into those places where we can get ballot access. So they, I mean, they're involved in a cursory way, but you're absolutely right. It's up to the states, and the states should be on top of it, okay, wherever okay. you live.
Okay, I want to make this clear. So all the libertarian activists out there and people advocating for freedom and doing whatever, their interface and support of the National Libertarian Party of the United States of America is if they are in support of having ballot access for libertarians to run for office in all the states, that is what the LNC is. That's what National Party is for. If that's if their effort is something else, then they need to go through some other organization or state or whatever. But if they're going to be dealing with the National
Job one, I mean, ballot access is a core function. Just like if you don't have ballot access, there's no reason to have an office. There's no reason to have a there's no reason to have an executive director or anything else.
Okay, so that's what we're getting from Lee, one of the hardcore guys. He's saying the Libertarian Party National exists to make sure that you have the ability to vote for a Libertarian in your state election. I mean, if that's the mission statement, if that's it, I need to know that. You know, good or bad, I need to know it. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive, when love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Yeah, here's the love, baby, right here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. We have Lee Wrights from the National Libertarian Party advocating for, and we got Barry Hess in studio. Finally, you know, Barry, he can't stand it. He's sitting there, and he doesn't get to have nothing to say. And I'm just going, you know what? You're going to get to have the whole freaking go, say, do. I know you got notes on every single thing we were talking about, and you know, we got Lee Wrights there. Say hello to Lee.
Hey, Lee, good to see you.
You too, Barry.
Hey, it was fun up in St. Louis. What did you think of the overall outcome?
Well, I'm going to wait and see what happens. That's all we can do. I believe they gave us a good group to work with. We'll see what they can do.
Well, you know, the main thing is you're advocating for focus on ballot status. Now, the thing is that we're going to have ballot status for... We're probably too late to worry about 2010, so it's going to be for a presidential 2012 focus that we get 50 state ballot status and Guam and Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico, whatever. So we got 50 state ballot status. That's the goal for 2012. Is that what you're telling me?
That's not what I said. That would be okay with me. I'm of the personal opinion that until we get things straightened out in Oklahoma, 50 state ballot access is ambitious.
Well, we've got 50 state before. You know, it's
been,
and then, but see, the argument was is that by getting 50 state ballot status, well, then, you know, they'll give us all the press. Well, then we'll be a real party. Well, then, and then it didn't do anything. So everybody's like, okay, we tried it. We did it once, you know, next thing. And then you have all these big explosions of activists around issues or concepts.
I'm not interested in how much media we get. I'm not interested in how much money we raise. I'm interested in as many people as possible in this country having the ability to vote for who they want to, and they can't vote for liberty and freedom if a libertarian's not on the ballot. And that's what I care about, the people of this country being able to have a choice.
There you go. Well, that's good rhetoric. So, you know, this is – so, Barry, I mean, what's your opinion of everything? I mean, you were there. You spent days and days and days hobnobbing around. You know, what was your impression from the crowd?
Well, my impression was it was a real lively crowd. It didn't ever get as contentious as I'd kind of hoped it would. You know, those are always a little more fun when a little more name-calling or backslashing that's going on. I really didn't see a lot of excitement there. What was disturbing was the number of people who literally are out of the loop, who were there, and that was a significant minority, but they were noticeable. I mean, the guys who just show up with their wives just so they can say they went to a convention.
Yeah, it's probably out of 500-600 people, I bet you at least a couple hundred people had not a clue.
Absolutely.
About a lot of stuff. Well, that's, you know, you go there to get educated. That's cool. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. But we had a good time. You know, there was a lot of, you link up with old friends and so on. And when you have 600 people come in an off election cycle at a Libertarian convention, you know, that's a pretty good turnout. And you had a lot of people who were represented of whatever it was that they were advocating. And a lot of them, you know, they enjoyed our presence. I mean, we were the fun guys. You know, we were there with the music and the guitars and the partying and having fun and upbeat and so on. And whether they supported us or not, they were appreciative of the effort. So I'm glad to see that. Hopefully it had an influence on the LNC that they'll be more embracing of these young people that are out there doing. That was another thing. Lee, what do you think the average age of the people were at that convention?
Oh, man. Now you had to ask me a math question. They were definitely younger than I would have expected for an off year. I mean, you expect in an off year, you expect the old timers to show up, the people that know how to do the business of the party. But I agree with Barry in that, I mean, this was a good convention because they, even though they were new, they worked hard, they educated themselves on the issues, they knew what they wanted to do, they knew how to take care of business in a proper manner in a convention hall. I was impressed with the overall group of delegates. I was impressed. I was disappointed about some things, but I was impressed overall.
Definitely. And you know what really got me, Lee, was the number of young people who would come up, because they've sort of separated me out with, I guess, an extremist kind of an attitude or an activist. And they would come up and ask questions, really in-depth questions. These are the young people, not necessarily a couple of older people. But the young people are so excited to go get going that it's really so encouraging to me. And when they see somebody like Ernie with his presence and his energy and his track record. I mean, we didn't even have to give his resume. I thought that was kind of insulting. But where they're so interested in how do we implement freedom. And, of course, we stayed up, I think, one morning till 5:30. My God.
Now, you did.
Yeah, well, I did.
I went to bed every chance I got. You know, the thing that I noticed is that over the years, when I first started going to Libertarian conventions and stuff in the mid-90s, even then, I remember it being kind of, from my perspective, older. You know, they're in the 40s, 50s, that kind of thing. Because these are people that started the party back in the early 70s. So a lot of those stayed around. The new people would come and go and come and go. And it kept getting older and older and older. And now you still have, if you take out the youngest people that were there, the average age would probably be easily in their 50s and 60s.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that would think the Libertarian Party would be much younger. You know, all the dope smoke. Gun-toting, tie-dye-wearing hippies, you know? Well, maybe, but they cut their hair and they're old, all right? So, but what happened is that this time, you had a lot of the youth from the Lovolution that had come in and other youth that came in and got this Libertarian thing and they wanted to go see how it manifested itself there. And I'm glad we were there to give them a show that there were Libertarian hardcore activists that were there vying for the support that they represented. They were vocal, man. They had a good
Absolutely.
Time. So all in all, I think it was a very good example to the old guard that I always considered myself the young'un. I'm 49 years old, and I always considered myself the kid. It wasn't until the revolution, the Lovolution, when you had all these young 20-something-year-olds that I start to feel like I was older finally. And I'm going, they go, and then Jordan Page goes, yeah, Ernest Hancock, Ernie, he's a father figure. And I'm going, at least it's not grandfather. I go, at least it's not grandfather figure, you know. But the thing...
Well, you know, the thing that really struck me was the distinct difference of the people who would pull me aside. And I, you know, you can't walk 10 feet without somebody coming up and saying, hey, what about? It's the older people were all interested in talking about the philosophy. The younger people were talking about where can I get materials to make signs? And that was really very, very noticeable. How do we get it into play? Enough talk, time to get after it.
You know, a lot of the older people, the one thing that I talked, especially the newer guys that have come over from the Republican Party, you know, kind of the Bob Barish people, the people that Tea Party-ish kind of thing, the Root mm-hmm. supporters and so on, they came over, all I heard from them was polls.
Yeah.
Polling data, Tea Party this and that, we got it, you know, to win and support and this and that. And I'm going, philosophy wasn't even on their in their vocabulary.
Oh, then you got a whole group who just go for the statistics and the odds and the strategies and the tactics and the what if we vote for. I mean, you heard, whose was it? Don Wills, your good friend, who his little statistical thing, well, if you vote for my guy second, then he'll win and blah, blah, blah. It was weird.
Yeah, wrong crowd for that. You know, that was his nominating speech. I mean, that didn't go real well. Well, Lee, you know, I'm very curious. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, let's put it this way. Had I been national chair, it would already be underway within a week. I mean, heck, this event this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, we'd be kicking butt with. So it's, you know, it's right away. Well, I don't see that happening. I don't know if it's going to be anything by 2010. There's going to be meetings and get around and, you know, blue ribbon panels on whatever to do ballot status and something like that. I'm just wondering, you know, how is the National Libertarian Party going to penetrate the matrix? I mean, is there something they got planned, or you think there is anything, or is it just going to be up to the people to do it on their own? I'm cool with that. Hell, I'll keep the party. I'll take the activist. I mean, if that's how it's going to be, I'll do it. I don't care.
Well, the National Party, the LNC, if you will, should be servicing these groups. They should be offering, you know, what can we do? They should be studying it. They should find out what they can do to help support these. That's the best they can do. You're talking about 18 people sitting around a table. There's only so much they can do. People that are expecting great activist things out of the LNC are probably expecting things that won't happen. But they can certainly offer the support that needed for those kids that want to make a sign that Barry's talking about. What's wrong with that?
They're the ones who get noticed.
I know. They're wondering.
Yeah.
You know, they look at me, hey, you know, it's done. Well, we'll talk about it more, and I'll play my concession speech when we come back. It was kind of fun.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Less conversation, more action, please. All this aggravation is satisfaction in me.
Yeah, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. Oh, got to satisfy me. You know, Barry, we got you running for
governor.
Governor here in Arizona, man. I just saw you showed me your first sign. 500 signs out here. I mean, that's like a real campaign, man. What's up?
Hey, we're looking for volunteers to help put them up, too. And they're bright gold. You cannot miss them from 5,000 feet, you see them.
Yeah, this is, you know, you've really built a reputation. You got a real campaign going on this time. You always have. And, you know, being in 2002, you ran against Janet Napolitano, mm-hmm. and then you ran against Janet Napolitano again. And now we have where the Attorney General is Terry Goddard, which is might as well be up Janet Napolitano.
Yeah.
And you have the incumbent, which was Secretary of State Jan Brewer, I ran against in 2006.
Yep.
And she's governor now. You run against her. This is going to be, of all the races, it's going to be Tweedledum and Tweedledummer versus Barry Hess on steroids. This is so easy. A choice. I so don't trust the system.
Well, we're getting there. And, you know, the funny thing is that these guys have served in office. And I think Jan has been, aside from saying her father was killed in World War II fighting the Nazis, when, in fact, he died of fume inhalation 10 years later, sticking their foot in their mouth, aside from the lies, I think it's really going to be exciting because I am going to confront them with my ideas that the last thing I would want on my resume would be successful political experience. Because to say I could thrive in a corrupt organization could only draw questions as to my own personal character. And I hope to hold their feet to the fire with it. These are the people who say they're the only ones who can correct the problems they created.
You know, this is, it's for those of you that haven't heard or don't live in Arizona and so on, you haven't really benefited from the campaign season here. You know, it's nobody really pays any attention to anything until after the primary, which now is like into August here anyway.
Right.
We're like the last in the nation. It used to be middle of September. And the reason Lee was because it was a direct primary state. I mean, the top two went to the general kind of thing. And then they, after Watergate and so on, they started doing this party deal because nobody supported the parties anymore. So they had to legislate it into existence, you know. But the so what's happened is now it's getting to the point to where the people are just so fed up with everything, they're willing to, I put it this way, Barry gets in all the debates.
Yep.
You know, Barry gets all the forum. Barry gets all the interviews. Barry, you know, other states are struggling just to even have your name printed in. They won't have a debate unless Barry's there because nobody will show up or watch. Because it's just, you know, that's the kind of impact that we have. It's been activism. It's been entertainment. It's been fun. And at the national convention, after it was my turn to pull, and you get a concession speech. You know, you get what they want you to do is kind of endorse one or the other or something. I don't want to play that. You know, we went there for a reason, and I'm going to go ahead and play it for you. It's only a few minutes, and you kind of get an idea of the fun that we had.
Ernie Hancock would like to speak to the audience. Clear, and that we were able to share love with all y'all. The one thing, you know, I didn't get an opportunity to talk during the nominating speech, so I'll take that opportunity now. I'll tell you this. I'm not going to endorse either candidate or anything. I don't want to get into that. But now you guys do it. You know what? I trust y'all. You know, whatever. The thing is, that I, a lot of you have. I mean, I know a lot of you have, but a lot of you have not. And I want to share this with you for those of you that have not. Those that have not been in the trenches, on the corners, holding signs, 3 o'clock in the morning, putting banners on freeway overpasses. People have been passing out stuff, getting arrested for holding, you know, passing out pamphlets at federal courthouse.
And the the crowd went wild. You know, because all they're looking for is they just want to be inspired. There's such an opportunity with young people, even anybody, that there's a win out there. There's a big W. You know, we're going to get the win. And let me tell you what the win is. How many minds can you free? And if you keep doing that, how do you unlearn the truth? I mean, you got to waterboard somebody or something, you know? So if you have somebody that's learned the truth, you know, you got an ally. And the more you build of those, the better it is. And that's what Barry's benefiting from. There was a whole lot done for 15, almost 20 years now that we've been doing this. So when he came, you know, on the scene in 2000, all of a sudden he's like, well, you mean it's not like this everywhere?
Really? I thought it was like a ready-bake mix in a box or something. It was all set up for me.
And he's done a good job. And, you know, now what's the plans for you, Lee? What you're on your plate now as you're going into this cycle?
Well, they put me on the Judicial Committee, so I hope I have to do nothing.
Well, the Judicial Committee is what? When somebody has a problem with the LNC, did something, ouch, quit it, let's go to the Judiciary Committee, something like that?
Right. If the LNC makes a decision and it is in violation of the bylaws or the policy manual or whatever, somebody brings it to the attention of the Judicial Committee, they can convene and consider whether to overturn a particular decision of the LNC. Of course, that's only been done once in 30 years, and that was last term when a bunch of people tried to kick me off.
Yeah, we don't got time to get in. Let me tell you what the bottom line was. There were some people just wanted him off because of his vote, and they go, oh, your membership lapsed because you didn't this, and the address went to, and kind of, and you're out of here. People went ballistic. They went, oh, are you freaking kidding me? That's how we roll? You know, oh, that ain't, in fact, the people that were behind that are the ones that are gone now.
Yep, yeah. Too many lawyers. And they all want to play with those little technical loopholes, but that really, Lee, you should wear that as a badge of honor.
No, I'm gonna have fun with it.
They don't come after the good guys.
I am the sky over the LNC now. I intend to continue to attend the meetings, and I'm going to pick up what my old friend Sean Hall started some time ago when he was doing the LNC reports. He would go and report on what happened at the LNC meeting. So I'll probably be reviving that and. Anything else I can find that needs to be done? Freedom's the answer, after all.
Yeah, to any question. You know, this is, you know, I'm glad that we got a chance to spend some time together, and we got some of the news that's going on now and how we approach it. And a lot of people do things differently, but we can have an influence on each other. And I tell you what, the big influence is going to be out of Arizona. It's going to be leading by example.
Definitely.
And this is, you know, Barry's going to be a big example of how to run a race without any equivocation or compromise. It's going to be an example by the activism taking on issues like this SB 1070 thing, because I know where this is going. Everybody's afraid of this issue. They're afraid. Oh, no, the press is going to, oh, that, you know, Fox News and Clear Channel. And I'm going, all the more reason to go after them. You know people at least as much, if not more, by their enemies than you do their friends. I'm like, you know, the national police state, I choose them as my enemy. I put that up on top of my list. So this is, you know, we're going to have a lot happen here coming out of Freedom's Phoenix, and on the radio show is expanding. We're going to the third hour, and we're not going to be able to do the third hour live today. I already had it in the computer, and there's the, you know, whatever. I kind of surprised them with that. So we're not going to be able to do that. I apologize. And we'll finish up, you know, the second part of Karen Kwiatkowski's interview that we started the first part of it yesterday. And they'll finish it up here in this third hour. And if you caught the first part of Karen Kwiatkowski, you know you want to get the second part in this next hour. And even then, you still want to get Karen Kwiatkowski, Lieutenant Colonel in the Pentagon when 9/11 hit. Oh, and there's a bunch of stuff before and after. She was in the office, right next to the office of Special Plans. Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney walking by her all the time. And she was letting it all hang out, telling everybody under a pseudonym, and they didn't know it was a woman. They didn't even occur to them. They're so chauvinist that there was a woman that was outing them on everything. So you guys stay tuned for that. That's a good one. Lee, thanks for coming on, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Rut.
And Barry, you know, I'm glad you came in. We'll give you another shout. We'll let you guest host. You get the yak all you want. We'll do that another time.
Hallelujah. We'll see you.